We just played pubs and clubs, and for about, God, what, 8, 9 years, and we finally were playing a club in Atlanta, Georgia, called Finocchio's, where we ran into a gentleman called Al Cooper from New York, who was real knocked out over the band, and we didn't have anything going for us, no record deals or anything, but Al really loved the band, and he had just signed with MCA to form his own company, Sounds of the South Records, and he asked us to go with him, and at the time, we didn't have anything else going for us, so we took it, you know, and later on, MCA, Al signed a lot of groups for his label, and none of them went well, you know, except us. So MCA company dropped Sounds of the South, you know, eliminated them and eliminated all the groups and then snatched us up and carried us straight to their label, their major label.
Mr. Banker, Mr. Please, how much does money mean? Won't you reconsider, mister? Won't you do this thing for me? Ain't got no car. All I got, Lord, is my guitar. But you can have that, Mr. Banker. Won't you bury my papa for me? Mr. Banker, please, listen where I sound. Thank you. my knees. But hey, Mr. Banker, that means so much to me. Won't you reconsider, mister? Won't you do this thing for me? I told you, miss. Sir, ain't got no house, ain't got no car. I got me a 1950, a Les Paul guitar. Won't you take it, Mr. Banker? Won't you bury my papa for me?
Well, in 1972, Lynyrd Skynyrd were discovered by musician, songwriter, and producer Al Kooper, who happened to attend one of their shows at Finocchio's in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, Al Kooper signed them to his Sounds of the South label that was to be distributed and supported by MCA Records. Now, for those of you that don't know the history of Al Kooper is best known for organizing Blood, Sweat, and Tears, providing studio support for Bob Dylan when he went electric in 1965, and brought together guitarist Mike Bloomfield and Stephen Stills to record the 1968 Super Sessions album. And that's only part of his career. But in 1973, Kooper produced the first Lynyrd Skynyrd official album, which was released on August 13th, 1973. And the album was famously entitled Pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd. And we led off the top of this, the second hour of the Matt Mark After Dark Show, with a demo entitled Mr. Banker. Now, that song was recorded in April of 1973 at Studio One in Doraville, Georgia. It was first released as the B-side of Gimme Three Steps in November of 1973, and it appeared on an album in 1987 called Legends, and on the 2001 CD reissue bonus tracks of Pronounced. Now, the story with this album was that most of the songs had been part of the band's live repertoire for some time and became famous on the club circuit, as well as other versions of those tracks, which appeared on Skynyrd's first The Complete Muscle Shoals album, which we discussed in the last hour. Now, bassist Leon Wilkeson left the band a few months before the album's recording sessions. And ex-Strawberry Alarm Clock guitarist Ed King had been extremely impressed with the band after an earlier incarnation of Skynyrd opened up for the Strawberry Alarm Clock in Florida back in 1970. And he had told Ronnie to keep him in mind if he ever needed a guitarist. Well, Ronnie immediately thought of him and was given an invitation to replace Leon as bassist. Once the recording sessions were wrapped up, Ronnie Van Zant decided that Ed King would be better served the band as a guitarist. So he visited Leon Wilkeson and convinced him to rejoin the band. And Leon returned to the band, and Ed King moved to lead guitar, giving that group what became their trademark three guitar army sound, along with Alan Collins and Gary Rossington. Now, that's the story. Leading into the next section of music and continuing on with this classic album. Any of you ever heard the song Gimme Three Steps? Famous, famous song. And it was inspired by a real-life experience with Ronnie Van Zant at a biker bar in Jacksonville, Florida, known as The Pastime. And I've been at that bar. I remember when I, on some of my pilgrimages down to Jacksonville, we went to that bar. And it's where Ronnie had a gun pulled on him for dancing with another man's woman and thus inspired him to write the lyrics. So take a listen to it, and we'll be back. There you go.
We'll be right back.
Rocket Poison, I'm Alabama bound. I've got my pistols in my pocket, boys, I'm Alabama bound. Well, I'm not looking for no trouble, but nobody dogs me round. Now, well, I'm going to fetch my woman, people, try, sure, here I come. Oh, well, I'm going to fetch my woman, people, try, sure, here I come. She was raised up on that cornbread. I know that woman, give me some. Give me some, baby. Alabama people, don't you try to dog him round. Now when the kid is Alabama people, don't you try to dog him round. Cause if you people cause me trouble, Lord, I got to put you in the ground. Baby, don't take any stuff from you. Oh, I was born in Mississippi, and I don't take any stuff from you. And if I hit you on your head, boy, it's got to make it black and blue. Got my pistols out of by my side. Yes, I'm right to Alabama with my pistols out of by my side. Gone down in Alabama, you can run, but you sure can't hide.
and I used to live together, and I'm sitting on my bed playing this guitar, and he walks in the room and sits down in the bed next to me and puts his arm around me and goes, man, he said, I love you. But he said, man, you're just the worst bass player I've ever played with. And I knew in my heart he was right, because I listened to the album, and there's so many things that on the album that I just wasn't happy with as far as the bass part. It's like it was hard for me to get a feel for some of it, you know. So I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, look, let's go out and talk to Leon. He's working at an ice cream factory here in town, and we'll see if we can't talk him into coming back and switch you over to guitar. I said, all right. So I went out that night and talked Leon into coming back. 2 days later, we started rehearsal with me on guitar. And that day, Ronnie and I were at Sweet Home, Alabama.
For school.
neighbors always say I was a useless fool. So I left my home to show them they was wrong and headed out on the road singing my song. Then one sunny day, the man he looked my way and everything that I dreamed of, it was real. Girls and cars and big long cigars, and I caught the first plane home so Papa would see. Listen, Papa, I learned how to play my guitar. Some people say I'm gonna be a superstar. Smoking their own long cigars.
Remember actually being there, you know, how you can picture yourself. It was Sweet Home Alabama. That was the first day at rehearsal with Leon back on bass, my first day on guitar. And no sooner, I guess Gary got in there before I did, and I'd no sooner walked into Hell House, and Gary was playing this guitar riff, and I picked up my Stratocaster, and I just started bouncing my right off of him, you know. And then Ronnie said, "Don't stop that, keep that going." And within 10 minutes, Ronnie had the first and second verse of Alabama written. And after I heard the first and second verse, I just, man, I rolled with a ball. I wrote the you know, the chorus going into that whole thing, and then he immediately came up with a chorus, Sweet Home Alabama. And yeah, I remember very clearly. And after it was done that day, Ronnie looked at me and he goes, well, he goes, there's our Ramblin' Man. You know, the Allman Brothers had Ramblin' Man. It's their big hit, and that was our Ramblin' Man. We just knew it was a hit record, you know. It was funny. MCA didn't release that first. They didn't, I guess, hear it as a hit. They released, I guess, Don't Ask Me No Questions off the Second Helping album first. And, of course, Alabama was a clear-cut hit off that one.
Singing songs about the Southland. was an exception, because here you had Gary, who just had this riff when I walked in, and then, of course, if it wasn't for that riff, I wouldn't have bounced off my dan-dan-dan riff, okay? And then Ronnie put the lyrics on top of that. But basically, after I heard Gary's riff, I wrote the rest of it and just rolled with it. But, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. If Gary hadn't started off with that riff, the song never would have been written.
To the one and only, the original Lynyrd Skynyrd Band. And pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd immediately put the band on the rock and roll map, securing the band a spot opening for The Who on their Quadrophenia American tour. And Lynyrd Skynyrd was subsequently exposed to much larger audiences than they'd ever seen before. Have any of you out there ever seen the VH1 Behind the Music? God, I tell you, I wish VH1 was still around as a station. Great documentary shows. It featured everything from AC/DC to Deep Purple to Bad Company, but they did a great one on the Lynyrd Skynyrd Band back in 1997. And it features Billy Powell talking about The Who on that Quadrophenia tour and saying how nobody opened up for The Who that got positive response. And when they opened up for The Who, They weren't booed. So he said in his usual voice, so we know we had done our job. Well, moving on, in 2012, Rolling Stone magazine ranked Pronounce Lynyrd Skynyrd number 403 on its list of the 500 greatest albums of all time. Mississippi Kid and Poison Whiskey are two of my all-time favorites that showcase the sweat-drenched blues and country-based hard rock and roll band that they were. These guys were waiting to break out and take over the world. On April 15th, 1974, they did just that with their second studio album, Second Helping. And that album reached number 12 on the Billboard album charts. It was certified gold on September 20th, 1974. And Memphis was an outtake from the albums released on the Collectibles compilation album, which we talked about in the last hour. Now, that track, oh, I love that track. I loved Collectibles. I highly recommend that to all of you guys there to pick that up. That track showcased the power of the three-guitar army of Ed King, Gary Rossington, and Alan Collins. Now, Was I Right or Wrong was a demo version released on the 1997 reissued CD bonus track. And the song was originally recorded back in 1972. But due to unclear compilations, the quality and clarity of the disc became compromised, which delayed the demo's release until the re-recording of Second Helping in 1974. In my humble opinion, it was one of Ronnie Van Zant's most hauntingly beautiful and prophetic songs ever written. And I can listen to it, oh, time and time again. It's excellent. Now, the song Sweet Home Alabama, as we all know, became a classic hit for Skynyrd and reached number 8 on the U.S. charts in 1974 and was the band's second hit single. Now, the song was written in response to Southern Man by Neil Young, and we all know that. And Neil is mentioned in the song lyrics. Now, the live version was taken from an October 30th, 1973 performance at WMC-FM radio concert recorded at Arden Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, and it deserves a spot on tonight's tribute. So we closed off the last section of music with Don't Ask Me No Questions, which is memorable for its lyrics and simple guitar riffs. And it depicts the Lynyrd Skynyrd band as just another working class band, which we all fall for, and we all love them because of that. But leading into the next section of music, Nothing Fancy, it's one of my favorite albums by them, was their third studio album, and it was released on March 24th, 1975. This was the band's first recording with their new drummer, Artemus Pyle, and the last to feature guitarist Ed King, who left midway through the band's torture tour. They called it the torture tour because they honestly didn't want a tour for that record. They didn't really like Nothing Fancy, but I think it's an excellent album. And he left in late May of 1975. Now, I'm a Country Boy off of that album describes their Southern roots so, so perfectly. So take a listen to it, and we'll be back. There you go.
New York City is a thousand miles away. And if you ask me, I'll tell you that's okay. Well, I'm not trying to put the Big Apple down. They don't need a man like me in town. Well, I've been gotten down on the Dixie line. a bar, I'm as happy as I can be. I don't like smoke choking up my head. If some of those city folks, they don't care. I don't like cars buzzing around. I don't even want a piece of concrete in my town. I like sunshine, fresh, clean air. Makes me feel like, well, you would care. But that's all right, each to his own. But one smell from a city, and it's a country boy's home. I said, big city, hard town, never bother me. I'm a country boy, I'm as happy as I can be. Well, I don't want people to read about it.
Girl, I'm gonna shoot you.
done everything I can, baby. Seem like nothing reaches you. Well, I'm gonna get that pistol, gal. I'm gonna shoot you and all your pals.
Are you into gun control?
I think they ought to throw them all away, really.
Just like the song says?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, I do.
Do you own a gun?
I have an old gun, an 1874 Springfield, but it's an old flint rock gun. It hangs over a fireplace.
Oh, but you're not into having one yourself? And...
No, I've been shot myself, and I don't want to get into that, but that happens, you know, every day.
How long did it take you to learn the Skynyrd material?
Well, what they did is they we went for a month down to Jacksonville to the Hell House, and I lived in the Hell House, which, you know, I later lived in for, you know, a long time. And we rehearsed. And then the band had a European tour. Didn't have time to teach me all of the material. So they took Bob Burns to Europe, and they told me that they would see me when they got back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I figured that the last show that I saw them was in Nashville, Tennessee. And I went out and played On the Hunt, because we had written this song called On the Hunt. And we went in the studio and did Saturday Night Special. It was that was the first song that I ever played with the band, was Saturday Night Special, mm-hmm. for that Burt Reynolds movie, The Longest Yard. It's a cool record. I mean, it's cool. It was under a lot of stress. That was Al Kooper. And just before I moved back to South Carolina and, you know, set up shop just playing with everybody that I could play with, I recorded in New York City at Dick Charles Studios at 729 East Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there for, we recorded 9 songs with a band that I've been playing with in Martha's Vineyard. We were there for 4 months and played this club called The Lamppost in Vineyard Haven. So then we, at the end of the summer, we went into the studio, and the Festival of San Gennaro was going on,
mm-hmm.
down in the streets, and we stayed over a tire store on Houston Street across from Mama Ruth, the Italian restaurant, and, you know, totally mafia, and like every car, you know, like limousines up and down the street. And every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, all of the street traffic and the street sweepers would start running over the big steel plates in the road,
huh?
And you couldn't sleep. So we would wake up and start rehearsal at 5 o'clock in the morning, every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you couldn't sleep.
Yeah, you might as well rehearse.
You might as well rehearse.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I never knew of a rock band that started at 5 o'clock in the morning, but we did. And then at the end of that session, we went into Dick Charles' recording studio and recorded 9 songs.
Yeah. gold, tired and dirty, hungry as I could be. But I had my guitar and a 100 railroad songs. So I asked the policeman, can I stay alone? He said, Mr. Hubbard, woo, you got to go now. We don't want you around. See, I'm trying to build me a respectable town.
People try to live in love by you. Yeah.